Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this morning. Coming out here to Idaho is like coming to a second home. You people have made us feel at home here. And now that I'm by myself, it's good to be here among you people, knowing that you've supported my family in prayers and in so many ways over the last couple of years. My mind was drawn to Isaiah 6 for a message this morning. I simply entitled my message, I Saw the Lord. You know, as we go through life, and it's been mentioned already this morning, that we're living in good times. We are. Jobs are available. Money's available. There's lots of things available to use up our time. How much time do we spend with the Lord? When have you really seen the Lord in your life? I'm going to read the chapter, 13 verses of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. In the first verse of the book of Isaiah, we find he was contemporary with four kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now, who was this Uzziah? You know, we know King Saul, King David, King Solomon, King Hezekiah. But who was Uzziah? He had another name. I think it was Azariah. But he was a young king. He was 16 years old when he became king. His father was a good man to start with, but he drifted off into evil ways, and he was taken and killed, and now we have Uzziah king at 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. He had a long reign. I thought that Manasseh was the longest reigning king, but I discovered that Uzziah also reigned for 52 years. And we find that he obeyed the Lord. The Lord prospered him. He was able to rebuild cities, to take cities, take back land that had been taken from them. But during his reign and his success, in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 32, 26 rather, it says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." And that was against what God had ordered. Only the priests were to do that. As a result, he got leprosy and was a leper for the rest of his life. It doesn't really say how far through his kingship it was, but when he was strong and his heart was lifted up with destruction. And you know, that's something we need to guard against. You know, when times are good, when things are going good, we're able to pay our bills, we're able to do this and that, that we don't forget the Lord. We continue to serve the Lord and use what he has given to us for his glory. So we got to be careful. We got to guard against pride and self-exaltation, as he did. God struck him with leprosy. And it's a warning for us today when things go well. But what happened with Uzziah? It says here Uzziah died. And you know, if the Lord tarries, we will all face death. We're only here for a short time. And death will come. Death isn't pleasant to think about. And I know you young people, you don't often think about death, do you? But someday, we're going to die if the Lord tarries. And we will face death. Many of us have faced death with the passing of a loved one, close friend, or whatever. But we have a refuge in the Lord. And here Isaiah was in the house of the Lord. And I had to wonder, maybe Isaiah and Uzziah were good friends, were close together. And when Uzziah died, Isaiah went to the house of the Lord to worship, to be close to God. And God revealed himself in a special way. Just a note on the Lord being with us. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God promises to go with us through the difficult times of our life. So here was Isaiah, and God met him here through the revealing of the seraphims. Now, I've never seen a seraphim, but it comes from a Hebrew word meaning burning ones. So I had to wonder if these beings were almost like flames of fire in the temple there. But we know it's quite an experience. And they cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And the place shook. I don't know if this building ever shook because of the presence of the Lord here or not, but it would be quite an experience to see the doorposts shake and the walls tremble. The Lord can reveal himself in various ways. And so he revealed himself to Isaiah. And in verse 5, we find Isaiah's response. He says, "Woe is me." You know, if we'd see the Lord like that, I think we'd say the same thing. Woe is me. Who am I that I should defy the Lord, that I should lift myself up? Woe is me, for I am undone. And when I look this word up, it means come apart. Something that's undone comes all apart. We would just fall apart before the Lord. And he realized his uncleanness, his unclean lips, and the people he dwelt among, unclean people. Before the Lord God Almighty, we are totally abased. We have nothing. We have nothing. So what do we do? Well, the seraphim came, picked a live coal off the fire, and laid it on his lips, and said, "Your sin is forgiven, you are cleansed." And that is the only way we can be cleansed. You are purged, which means cleansing. David said in Psalm 51, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Purge me, cleanse me, Lord." And that was after the sin with Bathsheba. He realized he needed a cleansing, and the only way to find it is with the Lord. When we need cleansing, we need it from the Lord. Anything else will only be temporary. Before the Almighty God, we are totally abased. So what are we to do? What do you do? I'm going to turn back to the book of James. There's a few verses there I'd like to read. In James 4, verses 5 through 10. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we find that when Uzziah lifted himself up in pride, God resisted him. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. I have a number of things mentioned here. You know, it's a response on our part. We have submit. Submit yourselves. You submit to God. Okay? You resist the devil. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You cleanse your hands. God is already there. God has already done everything for us. Now we need to respond to that. And that's what I see here. James writing to the church to draw nigh to God. And I think that's maybe something we often fail to do, or I often fail to do, is to just simply come to God. That's what he wants. He wants fellowship from us. And he says, come. He's already done everything he can do for us. There's nothing more he can do. We need to come to him. 1 Peter 4:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when Isaiah confessed his depravity, the seraphim cleansed his lips and took away his iniquity. Then the question came, who will go? And Isaiah was willing to go and take the message that God gave him. And that's what it takes, that we are cleansed, we are empowered by God, and we are willing to do what God has for us. I'd like to turn back to the book of Revelation. Now, don't go to sleep on me. You know, blessed is he that readeth in the first chapter. But here, John had an experience that he responded to. And he heard a voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And then he says, when I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Can you imagine that picture that John saw and what happened? And John said, when he saw it, I fell flat on my face. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. You know, I think when we get a full vision of who Christ is and what he has done for us, It causes us to humble ourselves, to fall on our face before him. But Christ lifted him up. This was the exalted Christ. This was the resurrected Christ. This was a Christ, I guess this is the way we'll see him when we see him face to face. But it was scary to John, and he fell down and was fearful. You know, we have things that interest us. We all have a talent. We have a special interest. I like classic cars. I like, you know, seeing them on the road. And there's always car shows and car auctions and swap meets. I could involve myself going to those and attending them probably every week because there's so many of them around the country. But that isn't what drives me. You know, that is not the central core of my life. Your hobbies may be different, music, hunting, fishing, hiking, etc., etc. Is that what your life revolves around? Have you really met the Lord? Is the Lord out here on the rim of your life? Or is he central in your life? No, it's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have talents. And it's okay to pursue some of those. But don't let that be central to your life. God wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be first priority in my life. And everything else revolve around that. And I think that's important. Even Jesus didn't please himself. Sometimes God allows hard things to come. But he wants us to come closer to him and to know him better. And I think that's the design of trials and tribulations, that we can come closer to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And learn to fellowship with God at a new level, in a new way. Turn back to the last chapter in Revelation. Revelation 22:17. Says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Three times it says, come. And so the door of opportunity is still open for us. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. You know, Jesus isn't going to force himself on us. He's going to stand there and knock. He's a real gentleman. So it's up to us to open that door and allow him to come in and eat with us, fellowship with us. What do I desire? Am I willing to see the Lord and humble myself before him? Am I willing to open the door of my heart and let him into the inner chambers of my being? I had to ask myself those questions. You know, how deep am I willing to let the Lord come into my life? Sometimes we just kind of on the surface, you know. Go to church Sunday morning, and Monday morning we're off to work, and in the evening we have spare time, and we do this and that. God wants your heart. God wants my heart. He wants to come in. He wants to fellowship with us. And too often I find myself holding him off. I like the words of this song. It's often been a blessing for me to sing it, and it is the desire of my heart. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self may I be. I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy spirit, lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord, come with anointing, showers of grace send down from above. Open the wells of grace and salvation. Pour the rich streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see you in a new way, not just on Sunday morning, but to see you every day of the week, to be central in our lives. Help us, Lord, to have our hearts, our minds, our thoughts and affections open to you, Lord, to be refined, to bring honor and glory to you, Lord, to be willing to go where you would have us to go, to witness to those around us, that our life and conduct would be glorifying you. Help us, Lord, to make you most important in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for these people here. Thank you for their love and care. Pray, Lord, that you can use us each one in your kingdom to glorify you and to spread your gospel to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.